Tell you what, you are such great looking people. You are so, it just looks, it just is wonderful to see your face. Amen. Why don't you turn to somebody and shake their hands. It's so nice to see you. It's so nice to see you. Amen. It's so nice to see you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, wasn't it? Didn't that feel good? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you. Even while I'm standing in church. Amen. To see you. It's so pleasant. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, or maybe the screen will show you. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. Acts chapter 9, beginning to read at verse number 1, says this: "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Not nice. It was not good at that very point. Saying bad stuff, threatening people. "I'm going to slaughter you." Whoa, that's pretty tough. "And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord?" At least he knew who he was talking to. Whew. It's just an amazing story every time I read this. "Who art thou, Lord?" I love this reply. It is so sweet. It's so short. It's so concise. I just like it black and white and simple. You know, if anybody else like it that way, just simple, straight up, just tell it like it is. Anybody else feel like that? That's what Jesus is. That's what he does. "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Isn't that sweet? Isn't that straightforward? Isn't that just the way you like it? I don't know, I do. I hope you like it. Whether if you don't like it, it's still the Word of God. "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. I guess I've read that a couple times. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Maybe a forced fast. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, though. This experience with God changed his life. Amen. An experience with God will change your life. My topic today is very simple. Faithfulness. Would you say that word with me? Faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are, Lord, even together in the name of Jesus Christ here gathered to know you. Lord, to hear of your word. God, to receive what the Spirit, what the Holy Ghost would give to us today. God, I pray that you would put words in my mouth and open the hearing of your people. And Lord, touch our hearts and lead us, God, by your Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Lord, be preeminent and first and foremost and in all that is here and all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Life's greatest step, the best thing you will ever do, is to turn from sin unto God. Amen. It's the best choice you'll ever make, is to live for the Lord. And in this church, rather frequently, I'd say sometimes at least once, most times a couple times a week, you'll hear preaching on salvation, on how to get saved, how to stay saved, and who Jesus is. Amen. Praise the Lord. But now that you have heard the salvation message, now that you know that Jesus is the only living God, now that you know to repent of your sins, now that you know you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, now that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, what now? Now we need to stay saved. Somebody say that with me. Stay saved. Amen. It's a process. Amen. We need to stay saved. The road to heaven is a narrow road. It is a straight path. It is a path that we need God to lead us on. I need God's help to know how to please Him. Amen. The road is not necessarily an easy one, but it is absolutely, without question, the best one. Amen. We have to be determined to fight this good fight of faith. There will be obstacles that try to turn you aside. There will be things in this world that try to pull you back into sin. There will be the adversary, the devil, to try to take you out, lie to you, make you believe something that is not true. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We got to make it all the way. I got to live for God my whole life. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. Being saved, being born again, it's just the first step on the roadway to heaven. Amen. It's an absolutely essential step. These steps that I'm talking about, believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, being baptized in Jesus' name, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and living a holy life. Separation from the world, separation unto God, they are things that are not negotiable. Oh, well, Pastor, that's unreasonable. Well, anything except the Word of God is unreasonable in my book. Amen. The only reasonable thing is to look at the Word of God in my book. The Word of God is my book. Amen. I believe in it. Praise the Lord. today, I want to talk about more than just the steps of getting saved. I want to talk about the steps of staying saved. Amen. Say that word on the screen. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Amen. Well, what do I do first? So many Christian converts have trouble finding out what they are going to do. Well, what do I do now? It's really a very good question. It really is. It's good that people are asking that very thing. Some people want to be powerful speakers, great singers, skilled musicians, soul winners, prophets, teachers, etc. You know, it's almost limitless the things that God can do or is doing in people's lives. It is so varied. It is so many. There is no lack of things for God to do with your life. Amen. There are so many things that need to be done. Instead of trying to pre-design your future in Christ, allow God to lead you into His service and purpose. You're not necessarily going to decide when you get saved what God is going to do with your saved life. Amen. Get this now. This is important. Christian living is the first step before Christian service. Amen. Amen. We got to get saved and stay saved so that God can use us. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah. Amen. It makes sense to me. It's just simple, and I like simple. Amen. When God created the heaven and the earth, such a short little sweet, concise statement. And God created the heavens and the earth. They're still trying to figure out how. I've heard yesterday, I believe it was, that they now believe that there are more galaxies, groups of planets, than there are grains of sand on the planet Earth. The heavens outnumber the grains of sand on the planet Earth. That's just mind-boggling to me. It's just beyond what my mind can even comprehend. And God created the heavens and the earth. It was easy for God. God spoke it, and it was. That's how great God is. God is greater than the furthest reaches of our imagination. God is greater. Amen. God set forth certain laws in motion in the very beginning. He set forth the laws of motion to keep the universe moving in a perfect order. Amen. God planned it that way. God planned the sun and the planets and the moons and the galaxies to move in perfect order. It's beyond my, I don't even think I could comprehend it if someone were to try to teach it to me. It's just awesome. He created water so that it freezes from the top down, when nearly all other liquids freeze from the inside out. The fish don't freeze because they swim around under the ice. The same principle applies to the Christian. God made man so that he would grow from a baby to manhood, learning as he grows. The Bible says that when we first come to him, we are babes, and that we must grow in him. Like a baby becomes a young person and then becomes an adult. And at every stage in life, we're learning. It's amazing. I've had children, I have grandchildren, and it is still absolutely awe-inspiring to me. Every time I've ever seen a little baby, it's just incredible. God made that whole beautiful person on purpose. Amen. And God knows what that baby will become. Amen. Even when you turn 12 years old and you think you know it all, you don't. There's some things you got to learn. Life teaches us lessons as we go. Amen. And we learn to become an adult. Hopefully. Hopefully. We learn to become an adult. You know what? I hope that we all grow up in Jesus Christ. Amen. That we have a faith in him and hold on to it. Amen. It's the way it's supposed to be. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I'm telling you, you may not agree with all the things that are said in the church. But hold on a moment. Look and see if what's being said is in the Word of God. Amen. If it's in the Word of God, it's good for you. Amen. The Word of God will give you strength. Praise the Lord. The young man becomes a nuclear physicist only after he obtains the knowledge and skills necessary from many years of schooling. Goes through a process to become what God will make him. The teenage girl becomes a surgeon with excellent skills only after many years of teaching and learning. Amen. She doesn't just willy-nilly walk into the operating room. Oh yeah, let me give it a try. No. She's been through lots of college classes, lots of training, lots of tests, lots of watching, lots of observing, lots of guidance. So that when she finally gets to the place that it's her place to perform the surgery, she has full confidence and knows exactly what needs to be done. Amen. God wants us to grow up in him and have confidence that I know God is able. Amen. I know for absolute certain that God is a healer. I know that God is a way maker. I know that God is a savior. Amen. I've just seen it so many times. It's absolutely, positively, without any doubt, true that Jesus is the Lord. Amen. In nature, the lion is born to be a great hunter at some point. The deer cannot leap over a huge fence the first day it's born. first day, those legs are pretty wobbly. He ain't jumping around much. He's doing good to stand up. Birds don't fly on the first day that they're hatched. There's a process. Just like us, as Christians, as children of God. Amen. There is a process that God wants to bring us through to bring us to the place where God wants us to be. Be willing to go through the process. Growth is a process. Proper spiritual growth is a matter that you will work on all the days of your life. What I said as a testimony today is absolutely true. When we have elements classes, the teacher is learning in every class. Amen. In every class. I enjoy teaching elements class. And I've taught it quite a few times now. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. But without doubt and without exception, every class is a new teaching and learning experience. Amen. Every time. And by the way, if you're an alumni, you're welcome back in class anytime you want. Come on back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Spiritual growth is a matter that you're going to work on your whole life. I'm still working on learning. I'm still working on the Word of God. I'm still letting God work on me. Amen. And I've been around. It's amazing. I had a little interaction with my friend, Roy Grant. He's the pastor in Calvary Tabernacle, Madison, Wisconsin. He was the guy that was standing. He was the guy that I was jealous of. Last day of family camp, I looked over. Altar call is almost done. They're getting ready to say dismissed. And I'm getting kind of nervous. My buddy is speaking in the Holy Ghost. And God, I want the Holy Ghost too. And I got the Holy Ghost when I got desperate and actually, I got kind of jealous, and I want the Holy Ghost too. And I meant it. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. 50 years ago. Well, praise God. That just sounds amazing to me. That's just incredible to me. Praise the Lord. I'm still learning to live in Jesus. Amen. It is my desire, perhaps more today than at any other time in my whole life, to somehow, some way, I've got to find a way to get closer to God. Amen. Than I have ever been. Amen. I need to get closer to God today than I was yesterday. Closer to God tomorrow than I am right now. Amen. I want to know more about God. I want to know about His ways, about His actions, about His likes and what He doesn't like, and about what He does and what He doesn't do, and about who God is. And I want to know everything there is to know. I want to know all I can about my God. Amen. Amen. It is absolutely impossible for you as a new believer to develop a strong walk with God without observing the following. It's impossible without doing these things. A consistent prayer life. Amen. If you won't pray, you won't stay. Amen. You're going to end up somewhere else other than in the plan and the will of God. Amen. A consistent prayer life is absolutely essential. Spiritual disciplines that include periodic fasting. Amen. You know, our church has for a long time advocated, we encourage, we would like to invite and encourage people to fast as a regular practice of your faith. Amen. In fact, for many years, it's been we try to ask you to fast one day a week. Amen. But right now, for the next 3 weeks from today, find a way to fast. I'm not saying everybody has to do it the same. And some people take medication, and the doctor says you got to take this with food. And, you know, I take 3 prescription medicines, and one of them says you got to take it with food. Well, I'm still going to fast. If my stomach gets upset, well, then I'm going to have an upset stomach. But sometimes I've learned maybe just a little bit of a drink of something, maybe apple juice or something, may calm that little upsetness down. I'm not telling you how to do it. But I am saying, find a way to fast. Amen. In fact, we advocate one day a week that we would find a way to fast, pray, seek God's face. That ought to be a regular practice in your life. But right now, in the month of January, and over what God will do in our church and in your own life, in your family, why don't you pray and ask God, Lord, what would you have me to do this year? Lord, how can I set myself to be ready for your purpose? Amen. Pray and ask God. Pray and seek his face and set aside something in addition to your normal fasting, additional fasting this week. I've heard of people not drinking coffee or not eating meat or not watching videos, or the list could go on. Use your imagination. What will you change to give up so that you can get closer to God? Remove something and add something. Add something that is godly. Take away something that is carnal. Amen. Eating is carnal. It really is. Now, it's necessary to stay alive. Because I live in a human body, if I just quit eating altogether, eventually I'm going to die. Now, I'm not asking anybody to go to that extreme, okay? Please don't mix up my words, and please don't try to say something I'm not saying. You work it out with God, what God wants you to do. Amen. Another spiritual thing that needs to be done is diligent reading and studying of the Word of God. Amen. Read the whole Bible through in 2025. Amen. Amen. I asked, it was such a great, I wanted to see, let me see the hands again. It was such a great sight. How many people plan to read the whole Bible through in 2025? Man, I'm going to have to rent a banquet hall to bring all these people to lunch. Amen. Amen. I hope there's that many hands at the end of the year as there is at the beginning of the year. But praise the Lord. You can do it. You can do it. Praise the Lord. It'd be such a thrill, such a privilege to bring in no cost. Amen. The church is going to take care of it. Everybody who reads the Bible in 2025, the whole thing, Genesis to Revelation, beginning to the end, you read the whole Bible through in 2025, the pastor would like to take you to lunch. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to fast. How about this? Faithful attendance to church service. Amen. It's an important part of being faithful. It's going to church. Amen. We're a part of a fellowship of believers. This is my church family. I belong here. It's what God wants me to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, don't expect to be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, or teacher after your first week of coming to church. It's just not going to happen here anyway. It's not going to happen like that. Amen. The best thing to do first is to learn. Someone say learn. Learn the ways of the Lord. Amen. Go to Bible studies. Attend a Bible study. Teach a Bible study. Amen. You will learn as much as the student teaching your first home Bible study. Amen. It's such, you have a great outline of a leader's teacher's manual that you'll read the manual. Or you'll read your Bible. The two will be amazingly informative to you. It will help you understand what the Bible says so that you can teach the student about God. It's awesome stuff. I hope you'll do it. Attend good Christian teaching classes. In our church, we have elements. Amen. I hope you'll come. In fact, next Sunday, 10 o'clock in the morning, is our next elements class. How many people here are going to come to the elements class? Yay! Amen. elements number one. Amen. Elements number one. That's what I was referring to. My class. Oh, well, there was a misunderstanding. How many people are coming to Elements 1 next week? Amen. Several. Thank you very much. I'm excited. Amen. And it's the people, whether you've been here a long time or not, it's the people that come to class that make it so interesting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When you have a question, ask. You can ask me as your pastor. You can ask your teacher. You can ask one of our leaders. But we should, if you have questions, it's the right thing to look for the answer. Amen. Don't just ignore it. Find the answer and let it be from the Word of God. Amen. We'll point you, help you, lead you in the right way. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Areas of faithfulness. Faithfulness is necessary in every area of your life. Amen. Faithfulness covers everything. The difference in a successful and an unsuccessful Christian life is faithfulness. Living for God is easier when you are sold out to God. When you live for God hard. When you want God in every area of your life. When all that you know and do is for Jesus. Living for God is easy. Man, it is so hard. If you want to live for God just a little bit and you stay in the world, man, that, you will be unsuccessful in both areas. You won't be a good sinner and you won't be a good saint. Praise the Lord. You won't be successful. Amen. Here are some areas, not just one, of particular importance. Worship. Someone say worship. Worship is so important. Worship Him. Psalms 150 refers to worshiping Him with instruments. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to the excellent greatness, His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Praise Him. Lord, I love You, Jesus. I praise You, God. I worship You, Jesus. I praise Your name, Jesus. Worship is part of faithfulness. Worship Him with your voice. Psalm 66 in verse 4. All the earth shall worship Him and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Worship Him with your hands. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Some people might come into this church and think, well, why has everybody got their hands all in the air? Well, the Bible tells us, lift up those hands. Amen. It's a part of our faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Worship Him in your giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. Worship Him when you feel like it and when you don't. Be faithful in worship. Be faithful in giving. And He alone is worthy to receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, for He has all the power. Amen. He's worthy. You won't give too much praise and you won't outgive God. Praise the Lord. Don't allow the devil to talk you out of worship. Amen. Don't allow the devil to talk you out of giving and being faithful to the Lord. Amen. Don't allow the devil to occupy your thoughts to the point where you're unfaithful. But how about this one? Don't choose to sit with people in church who will hinder your worship. Amen. If you got somebody trying to show you the text from their buddy, forget all that stuff. Put the phone on silent and mine's in the Bible case over there on the pew and it won't make a peep. I turned it to make no noise. Whatever's going on over there, I'll get to it later when I get done. Amen. It will wait. Amen. You make it wait. Amen. Nothing is so pressing and so important that it should be in front of my relationship with God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, our giving is given to us. It was in the Old Testament. Andre talked about giving. Melchizedek. Amen. Abraham paid tithes. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. It speaks about robbing God. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, see, they didn't even understand what was he talking about. We didn't rob God. Wherein have ye robbed me? Robbed thee? Wherein have we robbed thee? He explains it. In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. This is hard stuff right here. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I tell you, the Word of God says, let me prove it to you. Amen. When you are faithful, you will see the blessings of God. Jesus spoke about tithing. I'm not reading it, but that's in Luke 18, verse 12. Abraham, we heard about today, paid tithes to Melchizedek. Luke 16, verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust true riches? God's blessings are upon those that give to Him faithfully. You will bring the curse of God on your life and your finances when you are unfaithful to God. We give to Him as He prospers us. Amen. And it works just like that. We give, He prospers. Amen. We don't give, we rob God, we're cursed. Amen. It's kind of quiet in here right now. But I still got to say it. I still got to tell you. Amen. Hebrews 10:25. How about this one? Faithfulness in attending. In attendance. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Can anybody see that God's word is coming to pass? Amen. Has anybody looked in the book to see what it says? It has a depiction of our world to the letter. Amen. God has painted the picture, and we can look at it in the Word of God. And it's our world today. God is coming again. I can see the day approaching. And I want to be faithful. Amen. Faithful to ministry. Listen to the preaching and the teaching that goes forth from your church. Honor and obey your pastor. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor. It's a principle in the Word of God. Honor and obey the teaching of the Word of God and how it relates to your life. I often preach to new converts. But when you hear the preaching, the new converts, it will bless your life. You ought to get excited about the message of salvation. You should get excited about living for God. Amen. It's a good day when I hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Amen. Verse number 17, Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Amen. I preach the things that I preach because that's what I see in the Word of God. I've got to preach the Word of God, whether if people like it or not. I still must preach the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Faithfulness. Be faithful to a holy standard of living. Amen. Psalms 96, verse number 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. 1 Peter 1:15. For which hath called you, He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Faithful even when times are tough. Times are tough. But times were tough in the Bible days too. In our text, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, I've read it already, we see Saul of Tarsus, he was later called Paul, on the road to Damascus, going to persecute Christians. He had been doing this for some time. He was even there when Stephen was stoned, and he held the coats of those that were stoning Stephen. He was miraculously converted. And I tell you, every conversion is a miracle. It is a miracle by God that we are saved. Amen. Every person is a miracle. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Notice what Paul does after his conversion. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Man, he was having people put in prison. Some people got killed because of him, stoned to death. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to me, in that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after, get this, 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. This man spent 3 years in Arabia learning of God. 3 years. He went and spent 15 days with Peter in Jerusalem. He didn't jump from the persecutor to the apostle. There was a learning period. There was a time that he had to learn. Now, he was already learned in Old Testament scriptures. He already knew what the Old Testament said. He was well trained in the traditions of religion. And he had to learn the things of God. Amen. Paul was faithful to his heavenly vision. Acts chapter 26, verse 19, Paul states, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was talking about his conversion experience. Amen. That bright light that struck him down. Study Acts 26, 13 to 19. It was his conversion. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. It was his sufferings. Man, he went through a lot. Beatings and stonings and shipwrecks and so many people from inside and outside and upside and downside. There were people after him from every different direction. He went through much. But he was faithful. Musicians come. The point being made here is that Paul was faithful. It doesn't matter how he felt, whether if he was hungry, whether if he was free, whether if he was in prison, whether whatever circumstances had come upon him. Sometimes circumstances heap up over us. Anybody ever get that feeling? Sometimes it happens. But I tell you what, my God is still good. Amen. Even when I'm under the circumstances. Amen. Even when I'm sick in a hospital bed, my God is still good. Even when I'm sick at home in bed, my God is still good. Even when I hurt myself, my God is still good. Amen. At all times, in every place, in everything, my God is still good. You see, Paul loved Jesus. Anybody love Jesus today? No, above all the other stuff in life, even though you might get under the circumstances, even though life happens, I still love Jesus. He was persecuted, and nothing could ever separate him from the love of God. Nothing. And he was faithful because of it. Stand with me. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, my closing portion of Scripture says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Next verse. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Amen. Would you love him with me right now? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. I adore you. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise your name. I worship you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, the heaters have been plugged in. I see the water is... it must be warm because it evaporates and the cover gets all nice and wet from the steamy water underneath there. You could be the first baptized person in 2025 at Apostolic Lighthouse today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be faithful. Amen. In fact, we're about to sing. We're about to have pastor's lunch. Just out of showing of hands, how many, I hope each of our, if you haven't been to a pastor's lunch, I hope you'll come today. Amen. And if you'd like to come to the pastor's lunch, you're welcome to come. Let me see your hand. How many people are going to come? Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We got 13. Good. There's more food than 13 people will eat, so you're welcome to stay. Amen. Or we're going to send leftovers with the last few people that are there. But take that with you. Take that with you when you leave. Praise the Lord. But God is good. God is good all the time. God wants us to be faithful. Amen. Be faithful to God, and He will bless your life. Amen. Come on up. Let's worship God together for a few more moments.